This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. A great first hour, and we are powered up in hour number two. We're going to open up the mic once again. Shay Raftus, our producer, SB Nation. I know he is fired up about so many of these games this weekend, but really, I tell you what, we have got some dandies next weekend that we're looking forward to because it's like rivalry week. We've got, Ohio State, Michigan, and Oklahoma, and West Virginia right here in the Big 12 Conference. Let's start in the Big 10 Conference. What do you think about that game between the Buckeyes and the Wolverines?
Well, yeah, both have, Ohio State's should take care of Maryland. Michigan should take care of Indiana. Assuming those two win, it's going to be a showdown for the Big Ten East Championship and, potential playoff spot. Right now, Michigan's got to be the favorite, and it's crazy to say that, considering Ohio State's dominance over them and that they have equal records. But Michigan's just been the more consistent team with the better defense all year. And that's why it's going to be an interesting dynamic because Ohio State's going to be an underdog in that game, and Urban Meyer is very good as an underdog. And they have not lost to Michigan at home since 2000. So I think there's going to be a lot of factors there. I expect that to be a close game. I don't know which way. I'm leaning Michigan right now just because I think they're the more consistent team. Even as an Ohio State fan, it pains me to say that. I'd like to see a little bit more this week, but I'm not going to nail that pick down yet. That's the way I would lean, but you never know in a rivalry game. As far as Oklahoma-West Virginia goes, I think West Virginia is going to win that game.
And
I hate to say that. Sorry. Yeah, no, we're picking against both our teams here as of now. And again, I could change my pick because, again, this is kind of where I'm leaning right now. I'm not going to nail this down, but I just do not have faith in Oklahoma's defense.
Right.
I think we thought we saw some encouraging signs, but they got lit up against Texas Tech. They got lit up against Oklahoma State. And now you're going up against Will Grier in Morgantown. I think that's a very, very, very dangerous proposition. So right now, my leans are Michigan and West Virginia, but I could be wrong because I think these teams are all even. But I'm really excited for these two games because I think the winner of these two games could really shake up the playoffs, especially if Notre Dame loses this weekend to Syracuse like I predicted earlier last hour. So I'm just looking ahead to rivalry weekend, and I'm so excited because we're going to have some big-time matchups.
Absolutely. So we've talked about the Big Ten Conference, the Big 12 Conference. Hey, we can't forget Washington State. We're never out on the West Coast, but talk to us about that particular matchup.
I lean Washington. I know everyone's like, oh, Washington State, it's great. Well, Chris Peterson has owned Mike Leach.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, we could see some upsets happen in rivalry weekend. That's the way I'm leaning now.
Okay, we've got you set and covered over the next hour here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That, of course, was Shay Raftus. Much more coming your way after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, rolls on. We would love to hear from you. Many different ways to connect with us is social media. At eRadio Sports is our Twitter handle, info@eradiosports.com. And perhaps you missed any of our guests in hour number one or hour two. You can go to podcastarena.com. That's podcastarena.com. And you can go back and listen to each and every one of our interviews. And as always, hey, we've got to thank the folks that make it happen for all of us right here at SB Nation. And that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and they're known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Hey, well, we were just talking some college football, a lot of big games this weekend we're looking forward to, some NBA in hour one. We're going to completely shift gears. We are going to get you ready for the holidays, and we've got the perfect gift for that young person in your life, and we are delighted to have back with us. He is probably the hardest working writer in the business. Howard Shapiro is back with us once again. We had him on. It was late 2016, had produced a book, and his latest is titled Kate's Really Good at Hockey. Super cool book, and it has been released by Animal Media Group, and it's good to have back with us, and that is Howard Shapiro. Good evening, Howard.
How are you doing? So good to be back, Alyssa.
You know, we've got a lot of parents that tune into our program each and every week, and you're making their life a little bit easier because we're all looking for, ideas for the holiday season, especially book ideas. You know, so many times our kids are on computers, video games, Snapchat, Twitter, all these different things, and we want them to read, So tell us about your latest release, Kate's Really Good at Hockey.
Well, it came about really quick. It actually started about a year and a half ago. I had an idea because I wanted to So I've done four other hockey books, and I was sort of out of ideas. So I actually went back to the first one I did, which was called Hockey Days, which I self-published. And that was about my dad and myself and how hockey brought us together.
Uh-huh.
You know, because here in Pittsburgh, back when I was playing in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, there were just a few rinks, probably the same way down your area in that time frame.
Uh-huh.
So we'd go on long, you know, hour and a half rides. The place where we practiced, for example, was a rink that was in a mall, actually. So we practiced at 10 o'clock at night. So, you know, we got through, you know, we really helped us bond. And so I really loved the story. And I didn't want to kind of, it was from 2007, so I was kind of afraid it was going to kind of just fade away. So I decided to retcon it. And instead of having a father and son, I decided to kind of do it with a daughter, or in this case, a granddaughter and grandmother, and a mother as well, in the mix. So, and I contacted a editor who I've worked with in the past, and I wanted to co-author it with her. She's Christina Fry. She's a really, really tremendous writer, and actually our secret weapon was her daughter, her 13-year-old daughter,
uh-huh.
who really helped us, you know, with what, you know, is appropriate for kids, you know, and what they, you know, in certain conversations and things like that. So she was very helpful, and we had a little bit of a stop-start, and then we got full board and sort of went through it really quick. Got done in about 9 months, 9 or 10 months, and it just came out this past Tuesday. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. That's some serious execution. I mean, you guys are definitely people of purpose. You got it done. Howard Shapiro with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We are shining the spotlight on his latest release, and that is titled Kate's Really Good at Hockey. Getting you guys ready. All of us moms and dads out there, we're always looking for stocking stuffers. And, you know, when you've been on the show in the past, I mean, books that you've produced, the characters in the book were based on, you know, what, real people. I mean, is that the same true as far as with this particular book with Kate?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. The Kate character is actually completely original. I mean, there was not really based on anybody specific, but you're right. I mean, the past books, they always had some sort of, you know, somebody in my past or a friend or acquaintance or, you know, they're based on something or somebody, you
right.
know. This one, so the Kate character is 12 years old in the book, is completely original, but we were inspired by, for the grandmother character, who's more or less the second most important character. She was inspired by a real woman named Abby Hoffman, who, when I was doing some research for the book, I came across this story of this woman, Abby Hoffman, in the 50s. She was, she grew up in Toronto, I believe, and she was a very good hockey player, played, wasn't a goalie, as the grandmother is in this story, but she was a forward, and she wasn't allowed to play. Because she was a girl, couldn't play with the boys.
Yeah.
So what she did, her parents came up with this plan to cut her hair, change her name to Ab. And
gosh.
Yeah, this is 1956.
Wow.
And then the story even gets better in that she was finally caught. You know, they when they were doing, I guess they were in a tournament or something like that, and then they discovered her birth records. And then the story was blared all across Canada, and she was eventually allowed to play. We wanted to, you know, it was just such an amazing story. I thought, and there have been movies. I mean, there was a Helen Hunt movie, movies where girls play, boy, you know, that kind of thing. But this is real life. And I was really touched by the story. And, the NHL has the, you know, You Can Play program. We wanted to also work in, again, how the game is becoming a worldwide game. I mean, there's players that come to this camp, which is in the story, from all over the place, Ecuador and India and Japan and China, et cetera. And so we really got behind sort of that kind of hockey is for everyone kind of thing. And, I thought it was a really interesting story, and it really helped kind of spur things along as far as developing that character. So that character is based on somebody specifically, but... the Kate character, completely brand new character. We kind of wrote from the top down. Or
okay, so Howard, tell me this as far as with this particular book, what age group is it geared for?
Yeah, so it's for 8 to 12 year olds. You know, the thing with kids literature is my thought is that kids always want to read about older kids. So the 8 year olds would enjoy reading about 12 or 13 year olds. But there's really stuff. I mean, there was a review actually posted the other day. I think it was actually SB Nation with the St. Louis Blues page where they the reviewer said she as an adult she got a lot out of it. So it's really but again, it's geared specifically. The colors and just everything. We tried to gear it to that 8 to 12-year-old range, but it's really something that anybody, boy or girl, can get a lot out of, and hopefully adults as well. I mean, look, I'm so biased on this, but I've read it about six times, and there's parts that I still, to this day, get kind of misty-eyed about because they're just so sweet, and it was so well done by our illustrator who did such a wonderful job with the emotions. And so, yeah, but the specific group, age group, is 8 to 12-year-olds.
Hey, just a few more minutes tonight. Howard Shapiro, author of his latest book, Kate's Really Good at Hockey, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. And, you know, each week, Howard, you know, I'm interviewing authors, and there's many different types of authors, but kind of share a little bit as far as your backstory. Why did you decide to write the books that you do?
It's a really good question. I actually didn't start till I was 40. I was kind of spurred on by I had always wanted to write, and I loved reading and writing growing up, and it was just something I always wanted to do. And then back when I started, self-publishing were actual physical books, not e-books. They weren't sort of even around back then. It was an option that I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it now. And so it was just something wanting to, a desire to do it. And so I did a few self-published books, and now I'm on the traditional side, traditionally published. And it's just, one of the things where you want to, I guess, leave a mark or, you know, get your point across. And I just love storytelling. And so it's been a real, real nice kind of second, you know, career for me, again, after I turned 40. So anybody listening, if they're interested, they should definitely do it, or whatever. I mean, if it's playing an instrument or, you know, anything like that, because it's given me so much. I mean, even opportunities like this. I mean, if I would, you know, said the 15, you know, 18 years ago before I started, oh, well, you'll have this opportunity, you meet this person, you'll go here, you'll do this. I went, that's not going to happen. So it's just been a wonderful kind of second life, and I've really enjoyed it. And again, I would encourage anybody to, if they're interested in doing something or thinking, well, I'd like to do it at a more advanced age, definitely get out and do it, because it's definitely worth it.
That's so cool. Hey, listen, we're running out of time. Howard Shapiro with us about another 30 seconds, SB Nation Radio. Tell all of our listeners where they can go and get a copy of the book. It's titled Kate's Really Good at Hockey.
Yes, so obviously Amazon would be probably the number one, but also my publisher's website, animalmediagroup.com.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And any orders to that, I can autograph them, and we'll throw in a few extras. And Barnes & Noble as well, and Target, Walmart, their websites also. So.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, continued success. We look forward to visiting with you, hopefully in 2019, and you're another release. No pressure, right? You could do it.
No. Well, thanks for keeping it low pressure. I will. But yeah, I hope so as well. Thank you so very much.
Absolutely. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you real soon. Much more coming your way right here, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. Before we get underway with our next interview, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, the NFL conversation continues, hard to believe, already week 11. And we certainly pride ourselves on always delivering the biggest and the best in sports. We are so honored to have with us for the very first time on our program, that is Pro Football Hall of Famer, the great Anthony Munoz. Anthony is currently a contributing analyst for ESPN's NFL coverage. He, as I mentioned, is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but always takes time to give back. He has a heart for kids. He's a big participant in the Heart of Hall of Famer program with the NFL Outreach within the community. Of course, is in Mexico City right now, helping host four character youth camp clinics in Mexico City. Anthony, it's such an honor to have you with us tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, and I look forward to talking a little football and maybe a few other things.
Okay, well, let's kick off our conversation and talk a little football, because it's the matchup everybody's talking about on Monday night with the Chiefs and the Rams. And perhaps, you know, Anthony, this is a preview of the Super Bowl. You've got two dynamic teams, but it's been a hot topic all week in regards to the relocation of the game from Mexico City, a marquee matchup, but it had to be moved because it's all about player safety, right? Safety first.
It really is, and it's a shame because, you know, I've been down to the last couple games that they've had in Mexico, and, you know, Mexico loves the NFL. Mexico has some well-educated fans, and the atmosphere down there is just amazing when the NFL is playing a game. So it's a shame that they have to move the game, but you're right. It's all about the safety of the players, and when a field is in that bad a condition, you don't want to jeopardize getting anybody hurt because of the surface. So hopefully, they'll learn from this. They'll get things straightened out, and next year they'll return. But it's going to be an unbelievable matchup Monday night between the Rams and the Chiefs.
Absolutely. We'll break down all the keys and the key matchups. And I agree with you, Anthony. I think that it was handled correctly. But, you know, with the NFL, it's all about, you know, expanding the game. And how important is it to bring football to an international stage? I mean, the NBA has obviously had a lot of success with that.
Well, I think if you look at a sport that's really done it the right way, it's the NBA. I mean, they're global, big fans all around the world. And I think the NFL is moving in that direction. Of course, you know, they've had the last couple of years. It had been a few years before they went back to Mexico City, but, you know, they've been back the last couple of years. So they're back and running there, and it's a shame that we just talked about having to move the game. But, you know, now, you know, they're in London, 3 games a year. So, you know, I think they're really making a pretty good attempt and doing a good job of taking the game of football globally. So it's exciting to see that, you know, more and more people are getting a chance to see what this great game of American football is all about. You know, for someone that played it for so many years and still watches it and still enjoys watching it, I'm glad that there's fans around the world that are getting a chance to experience the atmosphere.
You know, Anthony, it's interesting. You bring up London, and as I understand, the NFL, talking about bringing it to an international stage, London will play host to 4 NFL regular season games in 2019. And I got to ask you, where would you like to see the next big game played so that the NFL can continue to influence youth and build off this tremendous success of the international stage?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a chance to go last year. I took my son with me to watch the Bengals, our Bengals and the Redskins play over in London. And I mean, the fans are amazing. It was really interesting because you have 2 teams playing, but I think you had just about every NFL football team represented by the jersey that were worn by the fans. So, you know, there's fans for just about every football team in the NFL. You know, I'm thrilled with that. I'm also really excited about, you know, Mexico continuing there. I haven't really thought about, where else they might I know China is a location that's been mentioned. I know a lot of times it's tough, especially during the regular season, when you travel so far. I know London, you play in London, you come back right after the game, and that takes a toll on you as a player because you are traveling right after a game. So I think that has to be taken into consideration as far as travel and the length of travel. And, of course, Mexico is not that bad because it's, the trip is not it's not a terrible plane ride. So I think China might be something else. It's another location that, you might like to see that the NFL go to.
Pro Football Hall of Famer, the great Anthony Munoz, is with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. One of the reasons we extended this invitation to Anthony, of course, he's in Mexico City for the Heart of the Hall of Famer program. And I would love for you to share a little bit about this as far as how important this is to the NFL's with their outreach of the community right there in Mexico City. What has that experience been like for you personally?
Well, it's been great. Of course, for someone that grew up in Southern California, as I did, I was actually born in the States. I'm an American, but of Mexican descent. My grandparents and great-grandparents, both sides of my mom and my dad's family, were born and raised in Mexico and then came to the States. So, it's exciting for me to go down there and have an opportunity to have an outreach with young people. And a lot of times we're down there really exposing the young people for the first time to American football, but more and more now, there's so many kids in Mexico playing flag football and love the game. So, you're going down there and not really having to, introduce the game because they've been introduced to it. But when you can take the game of football and really teach the other things that are going to take you a lot further in life, like teamwork and character traits, and that's the thing that I love doing now is I've been retired from the NFL for a long time, and I do across the country and in Cincinnati where I live with my foundation. But it gives us a great opportunity. It gives us a great platform. As not only as a present day player, but as a retired player, someone that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, to use that platform in a positive way and take the great game of football and be able to not only teach the fundamentals of football, but teach life skills. And that's what I love to do. And that's what I appreciate most about what this platform has given me for now 26 years that I've been retired is to continue to use the platform to teach young men and women, of course, about the game, but more about life.
You know, that's very important. But also, we were talking about this in hour number one, the importance of, young men and women to understand the history of the game. And guys like yourself, Anthony, that have contributed so much to the game and mean so much.
You're right. And I think a lot of times, especially now that I've been retired so long, you know, I get asked questions, you know, do you know A.J. Green? Did you play with A.J. Green? Do you know Andy Dalton?
Uh-huh.
I'm just a little bit older. But, you know, I think that's a great point that you bring up, is really giving these young people the sense of history, allowing them to not only introduce ourselves to them, but, you know, introduce the men that, you know, the shoulders that I stand on when I play the game, you know, the Deacon Jones and the Bart Starrs.
You bet.
You know, those Gale Sayers. And I think that's, you know, we have to keep that alive. We have to keep the history of the game going, you know, generation to generation, and not allowing young men and women to learn about just the fundamentals of the game, but to learn who are the individuals that made the game what it is today. And that's what I love about it, that I get a chance to, you know, personally, on a selfish note, to be around guys like that, guys that I can stand on their shoulders and made the game. You know, being around guys like Gale Sayers and Bart Starr and, you know, Merlin Olsen before he passed, getting to know him extremely well. And, you know, guys that are even older than that, guys like, you know, Dante Bluefingers Lavelli, who played with the Cleveland Browns, and we just lost him. And you're getting to meet guys before they pass, Otto Graham, you know, guys that, you know, when I was a kid, they were playing. So, you know, that's an important point. I'm glad you bring that up, that we do have a chance to continue the history of this game and allow young men and women to be aware of that history.
NFL Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. If you've missed any of our interview, you can go to podcastarena.com. Of course, Anthony, just an incredible career, 11-time consecutive Pro Bowl player, and an NFL analyst now with ESPN. So let's break it down. We want to get to your assessment of how this game is going to play out between the Chiefs and the Rams on Monday night. Of course, both have 9-1 records. What makes this game so intriguing to you, Anthony?
I think that the strength on both sides of the football. I mean, first of all, you look at the Rams that have come a long way in the last couple of years under Sean McVay, not only offensively with their, you know, Gurley and, you know, pretty good offensive line and Woods and, really young, excellent quarterback, but their defense. I mean, you know, not that they weren't strong enough, but let's add Sue and let's add some other players on that along with Aaron Donald. And so, you know, they have both sides of the football. And the Chiefs the same way. I mean, you got another young, very talented quarterback in Mahomes and, you know, some great running backs and wide receivers, a pretty good offensive line. But then their defense is playing well. So, you know, here's a game where you can't say, okay, well, the offense has an advantage because the defense of the opposing team isn't that strong. Well, that's what makes this game so great, and that's, you know, for players like myself to play the game, that's where you measure yourself. If you want to be one of the best in the league, you're going to have to do well against some of the best, and that's what these teams have an opportunity come Monday night, is they're both 9-1, mm-hmm. and, you know, they both have a chance to kind of prove who is better, and what better way to do it than playing a team that, you know, is doing just as well as you are. So, you know, this is going to be a tough game to pick, and at my age, I pick individuals because I like following individuals. Of course, you know, there's a left tackle with the Rams who's already 36 years old, and he's still playing at an all-pro level. Andrew Whitworth, who spent 10 years here in Cincinnati. So, you know, he's got a big fan here in Anthony Munoz, so I guess I have to pull with my heart and pull for the Rams with Andrew Whitworth. So, yeah, it should be a great game, and it's going to be a fun game to watch.
It's going to be fascinating to watch how it all plays out. Now, ultimately, perhaps it'll come down to who executes the best offense. You got to give me a quick hit before we wrap up our interview tonight, Anthony. Talk to me about your former team in the Cincinnati Bengals. They are second in the AFC North. They are going to face the Ravens at noon on Sunday. What say you? What's going to happen here, Anthony?
Well, if you go by history, the Bengals have not had any problems with the Ravens. I think we can beat the Ravens. We've been struggling a little bit. An area, you know, we just talked about two pretty good teams in the Chiefs and the Rams, both sides of the football.
Yeah.
And the side of the football that I've been very, very surprised has been our defense. We have the last defense number, you know, we have the last defense in the NFL, and I really didn't think that we would be where we are now, you know, with the defensive front and who we have on defense. That's been very disappointing, but I still think they're in it. You know, they're 5-4, they still have a shot, and they just got to bounce back from that bad day at the office against the Saints. So, again, I think the AFC North is an excellent division. You know, I think it's going to be an excellent game. Even though it's on the road, I think the Bengals can pull this one out.
True honor to have with us right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, Anthony Munoz, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Cincinnati Bengals offensive lineman, 11-time consecutive Pro Bowl player. Anthony, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Safe travels home back to the States, and we hopefully will talk to you again real soon in 2019. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and you also have a great Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here in hour number two at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we're back Friday night. We are so glad you're with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us. We would love to hear from you. Get your thoughts on Hour 1. You can send us a tweet at eradiosports, info, eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. And as always, we like to recognize the folks that power all of us right here at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, yep, we are in hour number two and so excited for our next guest because I'm ready to go inside the ropes and tee it up with former PGA Tour player and author, and that is Larry Miller. Good evening, Larry.
Good evening. Good evening. Let's tee it up. I'm ready.
I know you are ready. I have to ask you, though, just momentarily, it's been so cold in Houston all week long. What's the weather been like in Louisiana? Have you and Connie been able to get out on the course?
Well, not the last couple of days. We had a freeze this morning. Well, yesterday was overcast and, you know, in high humidity. And so in New Orleans, you know, I don't know if you know, but it's about 9 feet below sea level. And when the humidity gets high and the temperature gets low, I mean, it can be 50 degrees in New Orleans. And if it's cloudy and humid, it goes right through you. It's like being 20 in Chicago. And so last couple of days, no golf. The clubs have been inside. But this afternoon, it's brightened up. And then by tomorrow, Saturday morning, I'll be out there.
What's your recommendation as far as should you be on the course when it's, you know, it's 30, 35 degrees? I mean, I know we've got some big-time golf enthusiasts, but are you running the risk of injury? Should you really just stay inside? I mean, what do you think?
Well, you have to warm up adequately. You know, you have to stretch in your muscles and really spend extra time doing that in the winter, anytime that it's cold. Because if you start swinging, especially full swings, right off the bat without warming up, you could tear a rotator cuff or hurt your wrist or, you know, your elbow. Mm-hmm. You got to be really careful with that when it's cold. You got to really spend extra time. Do some stretches, whatever, you know, whatever you like to do. But just get your body warmed up and ready before you start swinging. And the other thing is don't start with a full swing long club. You know, get a wedge, sand wedge, and start off hitting some little, you know, 30, 40-yard pitches and build your way up to full wedges and then work your way on up. You got to be very careful because especially, now not the kids, you know, these teenagers and stuff, they can just jump out of the car and whack it, you know. But, But, you know, you start getting up a little bit in the years and you better be careful because you could end up at the orthopedist.
Absolutely. And dress in layers. And also you have to share the tip on about how to keep your golf ball warm, too. I thought that was great. You shared that a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, boy, that's an extra 10, 15 yards. I'm telling you, it's amazing. When I played the tour, we used to have these hand warmers you'd put in your pocket. If you warm up your golf balls before you play on a cold day, you'd be amazed at how much farther the ball goes. A cold golf ball just doesn't compress. And so you're going to lose, like I said, you'll lose 10, 15 yards at least if you just get out there and your golf ball is just ice cold when you pull it out of the bag. So try to get them warmed up, you know, put them in your pocket while you're practicing. Put a little hand towel around them or something, anything to keep them a little warmer, and it'll make a big difference in the feel of the ball and the distance that it goes.
The familiar voice, Larry Miller, life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player, is with us tonight. Of course, author of his latest release, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. We love when Larry's on. He always gives us some great insight and tips. And one of the guys that they've actually been on fire, playing very well last weekend, that is Lee Westwood and Matt Kuchar. They won, ending a 4-plus-year drought, winning on their home circuit. And, you know, what's interesting, too, about this is that, Larry, they won without their regular caddies. I just wanted to get, what was your reaction to the win? Two great guys that we've followed for many years.
Well, first of all, Lee Westwood has to be in the conversation as one of the best players not to have won a major. You know, he's won a lot of tournaments worldwide, but never a major. And he's, you know, the problem with Lee Westwood has always been his chipping and pitching around the greens. He's known as a really great ball striker, tee to green. Great driver of the ball, great iron player. But he's a very mediocre, or has been a very mediocre player from, say, 50 yards in. And that's what the reason he's not won a major and not won a lot more tournaments. But perhaps he's been working on that and trying to shore up that part of his game. Anyway, talk about overdue to win a major, but you know he's getting up there, and he better win one soon, you know, or else the clock's going to keep ticking away. But Matt Kuchar is just a consistent player. If you look at his top tens and top 20s in the last couple of years, you'll see just a multitude of those finishes without a win. And you know, it illustrates how hard it is to win on the PGA Tour. Now, you can knock on the door. Look at Ricky Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
You can knock on the door all year long and have great finishes, and really not come away with a victory. It's that difficult to win out there. You have to have all cylinders clicking, and making a lot of putts to win on the tour these days, because at the top of the field, it's so many good players.
Absolutely.
But those two guys, good to see them win. You're both great guys, That could kickstart their year, and who knows, maybe Westwood will come through and win one, and Kuchar will certainly continue his consistent play.
What a great way to kick off his season as we talk about Westwood. And I thought what was interesting is that a caddy change has brought him new life. Billy Foster, his longtime caddy, you know, split after a 10-year run. So just kind of talk to us about, I kind of want to get into a discussion in terms of, you know, when you were on the tour, I mean, what were some of the things that you look for when, you know, teaming up with a caddy?
Well, the biggest thing, you know, aside from the technical aspect of the caddy being really good with numbers and giving you the right yardages, and you know, he has to know your game and how far you hit each club and how far you can hit each club and how short you can hit it, because you know the tour players can take a 6-iron and hit 3 or 4 different shots, different distances with it. So caddy has to know that capability. But one of the biggest things is the chemistry between the player and the caddy.
Okay.
That's really important, because you have to have a good personality match, a good you know, emotional makeup between the two of you, to where the caddy doesn't do anything to get the player too excited, and also will not let him get too down on himself. The caddy has to be a psychologist as well as an assistant with all the numbers. And so it's really important. It's a team. It's a team out there. And if you have a good team chemistry, then you're going to, you're going to increase your chances for a good performance. I know if you get a caddy the wrong kind of caddy can really drag your game down, because you can get stressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a difference in personality to the point that you know, bickering starts happening, and you start blaming the caddy, and the caddy blames you. And so you got to pick that very carefully, and then you have to discuss it too with the caddy. When you hire a caddy, you know, when we used to hire him on the tour when I played, we'd interview the caddy, and you'd sit down and have lunch with him or something, and mm-hmm. make sure that you were compatible personality wise, and also, you know, interview the caddy on his level of expertise and experience. So very important aspects of that relationship, and it can make a huge difference. And maybe these two guys, Kuchar and Westwood, that sudden change might have been for the better and paid off with wins.
Hey, we are Inside the Ropes with former PGA pro Larry Miller joining us tonight. SB Nation, the Big E Sports Show. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. It's interesting talking about, you know, if you connect with that person in order, we're talking about caddies, trust is key, creating that good vibe. Larry, do you want a caddy to club for you?
Only if I ask.
Okay.
The way I like to play, and I think most players would agree, is that the final decision is always with the player. But sometimes the player will ask for input, and
okay.
sometimes not. You know, if I'm looking at a putt and I'm sure of the line, and I'm not going to say anything, and I don't want the caddy to say anything, unless I go to the caddy and say, "What do you see?" And that's the way it works. You know, you have to declare that you want his help. You don't want it unsolicited,
okay?
Because that can only confuse you. So that's the proper way to go about that deal. Is you know, say, "What do you think?" or don't say anything at all.
So who are, would you say, some of the best caddies in golf of all time? And as we talk about, you know, the keys to being a good caddy, I mean, I certainly think of Jim Bones McKay and Steve Williams.
You read my mind. Those are the two names that I was going to put out there. And then going back a couple of decades or so, Jack Nicklaus with Angelo, Angelo Arguello was that white-haired, tall caddy that he had that was so good when Nicklaus won all those majors. All the great players. Lee Trevino had that same caddy for years, and Gary Player. And obviously the team that those players formed with those caddies was a great match because of all the tournaments they won and the majors that they won. So can't overstate the importance of that, of having the right caddy on your back, for sure.
How should you, as a parent, caddy? Because many times when I'm out on the course, I feel like, you know, you're trying to minimize those emotional responses. And you got to have thick skin because you get blamed for everything, Larry.
Of course. Well, it depends on the age of the player, too.
Okay, true. You know, yeah. I'm talking about you.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old player, you can bet that player is going to blame the caddy for every mistake.
Sure.
You can just count on it. But as the player matures and gets a little older, then the team aspect comes more into play, and the player realizes that he is the ultimate decision maker and that any blame that occurs is going to have to rest on him or her. So, it depends on the age, but it's a sensitive thing, though, for a parent to caddy for a child because you're emotionally involved, and that's not a good thing usually. Although there are some teams out there on tour with husband, wife, player, girlfriend, and on the ladies' tour, they have some ladies whose husband's caddy.
Yeah.
So it can work if you set you have to set how it's going to work before you go out there and be able to deal with it. But it can also be stressful and create turmoil, too. If you get into a blame game, and one blames the other, then it can really affect your performance. So anyway, it's an interesting dynamic, and one that has to be carefully thought about and planned out before you do it.
Well, I think our role as a parent, when you're caddying, is you're just trying to make it a positive experience. And there's many times that I allow, like Eli, who's 12, I mean, I allow him to hit the club even if I think it's the wrong one because it's just not worth arguing over. And I don't want to affect his confidence level. If he's confident he can hit that shot with that particular club, I'm going to let him do it.
Yeah, especially for a young player, you want to always try to build their confidence up.
Right.
That's really important, no matter what. Because they're not ready yet for any more of a complex relationship. And so the main thing is to make the player comfortable, the younger player comfortable, and also just keep patting him on the back and tell him how good he is, and that if you had a bad hole, that's okay. Let's go play the next hole well.
Yeah.
And forget that one, and just try to do everything you can to boost their confidence. Because at that age, if you get below 13 or below years of age, that's the time to build their self-belief and confidence.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go inside the ropes and rejoin PGA pro Larry Miller. Just out of curiosity, your time on the tour, how often did you change caddies? And when do you recognize that, it is time for a change? We were just talking about Lee Westwood. He's actually having his girlfriend caddy for him right now, his partner. So, he had had Billy Foster for, 10 plus years?
Yeah, when I was playing, I'm a lot of the time I had close friends caddying for me. As opposed to tour caddies at that time. Things are different now. The caddies now are more, it's a big deal now. It's big business, and it's almost a business relationship as well as a personal one. But when I played, it wasn't that way. The money wasn't like it is now. And I used to get close friends that I was compatible with, and obviously, because we were close friends, and I would get them to caddy for me, and they all played golf. They knew my game, and they knew the game of golf, and so that's what I did. There were times when I, didn't have access to a friend to be able to caddy, and I had to get a tour caddy, But I was not real comfortable with that most of the time because it wasn't a long-term relationship, and we didn't get to build, you know, build a rapport like you have with a friend. So that's what I did. But things are different now. It's not that way now, and you have to get specialists now, experts. You know, these guys, these tour caddies now. I mean, a lot of them are really good players themselves. They know the game, and they are expert at yardages and conditions, course conditions, wind conditions, and it's just become a more technical relationship than it used to be.
Hey, we're wrapping up our time. Larry Miller, Inside the Ropes, who joins us each and every week right here, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. He has some exciting news in the upcoming weeks. We're looking forward to visiting with Larry about that. And I know Larry certainly, and Connie, you guys are looking forward to the epic matchup. We will actually be off Thanksgiving week, so you're looking forward to some Tiger and Phil. And what say you? Who's going to come out on top?
Well, it's going to end up a tie, and they'll have to have a rematch.
So. Oh, it's going to
be all about the cash, Alyssa. It's all about the cash.
It's all about the money. Okay, well, listen, enjoy. Happy Thanksgiving, and best to Connie. We'll talk to you next week or in 2 weeks.
Great. Happy Thanksgiving to all the golfers out there. See you soon.
That, of course, was PGA Pro Larry Miller joining us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. A very special thank you to all of our amazing guests. Of course, our producer right here at SB Nation, that is Shea Raffis. All of you have a great Thanksgiving holiday. We'll be off next week. And remember, don't drink and drive. We'll see you in 2 weeks for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big East Sports Show. So long, everybody.